Roberts versus Winder. This is 24082, and we'll hear from Mr. Hughes, please.
Thank you, Your Honor. This is Robert Hughes. Mr. Trinidou, I believe, is listening in by his telephone. I will start by addressing the court's September 7th, 2021 order. That seemed to be an appropriate place to begin. And breaking that up into parts was, did the district court err when it resolved the appellant's First Amendment claim by reference to the test set out in Supreme Court Garcetti versus Pickering, Garcetti v. Pickering, slash Pickering, not V, line of cases, rather than the test set out in Elroy slash Branty line of cases? My answer to that question is yes. For a number of reasons. Most notable is the Garcetti-Pickering cases do not address the fact situation of this case. And Pickering, in short, both of those involved explicit speech. Pickering was a letter by a teacher to a local newspaper critical of the school board and superintendent. Garcetti involved the deposition memorandum by Garcetti recommending the dismissal of a case to the great displeasure of his boss. The only explicit language or speech in this case is defendant Winder's statements that he wanted Roberts replaced because Roberts had not publicly supported defendant Winder in his three elections. And we submit that was a violation of Roberts' protected constitutional rights. The court may be interested in why is it that Mr. Roberts' support was so important to defend a winner? And there should be some understanding of that.
Counsel, whose speech should we be focusing on? Whose speech should we be focusing on? Your client's or Mr. Winder's? You just said Mr. Winder's speech.
Mr. Winder's speech is the one we should be focusing on, Your Honor. He was the sheriff of Salt Lake County. Roberts was a deputy in the sheriff's office.
Now, but your claim, you're the plaintiff and you're claiming violation of First Amendment rights. So aren't we concerned about your client's speech?
No, Your Honor. What we are concerned in this case would be the speech, and that's why I was saying it's not truly explicit speech. It's the actions by the defendant Winner, which affected his association and his rights to act and associate with those he wanted to. In this case, Mr. Roberts refused to support Sheriff Winner in his seven elections. Shortly after that, in fact, within days, if not certainly weeks, of coming into office, Sheriff Winter brought in two of his senior staff under Sheriff Baca and Captain Nelson, both long-term and high-ranking officers in the sheriff's department, indicating to them he wanted to get rid of Roberts. He wanted to remove Roberts from the range master position, which Mr. Roberts had held for, by that point, about 27 years. And we will get into that if we have time. And it is our belief that the range master position was a merit position and could not be summarily removed. But that goes a field of what the question is. The question, I believe the court is asking, the speech was defendant Winder's statement that he wanted to get rid of or wanted to remove Deputy Roberts as rangemaster. And they both, Batka and Nelson, have provided affidavits in which they said that defendant Nelson wanted to remove Roberts because Roberts had failed to support him in his election, not only the first, but ongoing. So what we have, Your Honor, is we have a moving picture as to what was going on, just not a one-time event. We have a moving picture from the date Sheriff Winter came or was initially elected, and that's my memory, that was in 2007, until the date that Roberts was removed by Sheriff Winter in 2017, And he was removed only by Sheriff Winder. When Sheriff Winder had agreed to take another job, he was going to become the police chief of Moab City, and he was getting ready to move to that job and left. And that was one of his last acts, was to remove Deputy Roberts from the rangemaster position. Did that? So the speech is actually the act, the conduct of defendant or Sheriff Winder. It's our position that under the Elrod Branty framework, there's a two-part inquiry, or excuse me, under the Pickering Garcetti, I should move back to that, Your Honor. There's a five-part balancing test. And I'm sorry to interrupt my thought on this, but I would like to reserve 6 minutes for rebuttal, and I will be watching that also. Unfortunately, I do not see the clock counting down on my screen, so I'll...
You have nine minutes.
I see that. Thank you very much, Your Honor. Sure. I had to press another button, and computers and I and buttons are not a good thing. Okay. I try to avoid it whenever I can, because then blinking lights go on. But, you know, if we look at Pickering Garcetti, whether the speech was made pursuant to an employee's official duties, no, it was not. In this case, Deputy Roberts just simply did not want to help Sheriff Winder. And as I've said, or I started to say, Deputy Roberts was well known. He'd been in the department for some 20 years. He had been rangemaster for 10, and in that position, he had trained almost every deputy. He had been involved with every protective corps personnel. He had been involved with corrections. He had been involved with many of the other local police forces. He had been involved with many of the other prosecutors in the area. So Mr. Roberts was very well known. He was also recognized as one of the most as being one of the best rangemasters, in fact, receiving an award for being the rangemaster of at least the month nationally.
Before we run out of too much any time here, unless others have more questions about the First Amendment claim, could you move into due process?
Yes, Your Honor. Due process, and I'm going to suggest to the court, we have two due processes, procedural and substantive due process. I'm also going to refer the case to Gann versus Klein, which is a 10th Circuit 2008 case, which I will not go into in any detail. The defendants claim that Roberts's claims must fail for four reasons: that he waived his claim by foregoing the merit commission. Second, there is no substantive due process right to employment. There was. That's one of the issues in this case. If we go back, in fact, to Elrod or Branty, they were non-civil service employees, so that's not necessarily important. But in this case, and we have briefed very thoroughly Mr. Roberts's qualifications and as a rangemaster, which was appointed by the Salt Lake Merit Commission. We've provided to the court numerous depositions and affidavits by people who were familiar with that position, how it came about, why it came about.
So you argue that the rangemaster position is a merit position?
Yes, right? Your Honor.
Okay. And do we have any case law that tells us the merit position is a fundamental property right?
Yes, Your Honor, we do. And I will come back to that. I have that case when I come back after rebuttal and address that case directly. I hate to go through my notes to look for that case, but that has been found, yes. You know, and if I go into the Gann versus Klein, they say the First Amendment prevents the government, except in the most compelling circumstances, from wielding its power to interfere with its employees' freedoms to believe and associate, or to not believe and associate. And that's what we're dealing with here. Mr. Roberts' decision not to support or associate with Sheriff Winter and his elections. And I do notice I am past my 6 minutes. If the court has any other questions, I'd be happy to address those. Excuse me.
Okay. Paul, let's stop the clock. Judge Briscoe, do you have any questions?
Not at this moment. I'm eager to find this case that counsel has said he cited to us.
Okay. And Judge Murphy, do you?
No.
Okay. I don't either. So we'll recognize Mr. Young.
Hopefully you'll see something.
And Mr. Hughes, if you would please mute yourself. There you go.
Thank you, Your Honors. I will start with Judge Briscoe's question about due process. I believe the case, Your Honors, is Potts versus Davis County, 551F3-1188 on page 1192. This court has said that a plaintiff cannot allege a violation of procedural or substantive due process if they don't have a protected property interest. The court then went on to say there's a protected property right where there are substantive restrictions on the government actor's ability to make personnel decisions. And the issue here, Your Honors, is that under the Merit Commission Act and the policies created by the Merit Commission, specialist positions do not have a substantive restriction. In fact, the sheriff is authorized to transfer someone in a specialist position pursuant to their merit rank. And merit ranks do have a protected interest. And so what Mr. Roberts has argued is that, well, rangemaster is not a specialist position, it's a merit rank. The documents from the Merit Commission establish beyond any doubt that rangemaster is a specialist position and not a merit rank. Three categories of documents to go through. First, the policies. Policy 3100, which is at Appendix 841, sets forth merit ranks, and there are four of them: deputy, sergeant, lieutenant, captain. It does not state rangemaster. Second, all of the documents at the foundation or creation of this position in 1996, and we've cited them in our brief, but there are nine of them. There's a letter from Sheriff Kennard, then Sheriff Kennard, March 18th, 1996, requesting the Merit Commission reestablish a, quote, specialist position as allowed by Policy 4140. Policy 4140, which was subsequently changed to 3140, is about specialist positions. It's not about merit ranks, and it expressly gives the sheriff the authority to transfer an officer in a specialist position according to their merit rank. Notice of public hearing, April 11th, 1996. That's at Appendix 271 to 274. The public hearing transcript, Appendix 338 to 443. Even Robert's application for the job in 1996 at Appendix 280 to 281 says, quote, I am writing to apply for the specialist position of rangemaster, not the merit rank. And this leads to there are other documents, but for time, I won't go into all of them, but they're in our brief. Mr. Hughes has not cited a single document from the Merit Commission that says this was a merit rank. Indeed,
I think if asked is that he has the equivalent. He argues, I think that in 2010, when the plaintiff asked for a pay equivalent to status as a lieutenant, that the Merit Commission wouldn't have been able to exercise jurisdiction had he not been considered a merit-based employee. What is your response to that?
Yeah, thanks for bringing that up, Judge. The response is this. He is a merit employee because he's a merit, and it's in 2009. He's a merit rank sergeant, but he's not a merit rank rangemaster. That's not a merit rank. And that's the difference. And what you see, and I point you, Judge, to Appendix 91. This is the official letter, August 5th, 2009, from the Merit Commission to Sheriff Winder. And what they do is they reclassify the position, the pay grade. They don't reclassify it as a merit rank. And you'll see the title of the position in both cases is Rangemaster Specialist, not Rangemaster Merit Rank. And what changes is the pay grade goes from P17-21 to P21-25. And so they set his pay at the equivalent of a lieutenant, but he wasn't a merit rank lieutenant. And Judge, the other document, there are two other things I'd point you to on that. One is Galen Larson, who he relies on, who incidentally was not ever a member of the Merit Commission. And our position is her testimony is unfounded, but the district court found that she recanted her affidavit when she was deposed and admitted that at that 2009 hearing, the Merit Commission did not reclassify this position as a merit rank.
But Mr. Young.
Sure.
There was one individual who was on the Merit Commission that indicated this was a merit position.
Well, her name was Jill Carter. She was on the Merit Commission from 2004 to 2012. And she testified in her deposition, it was her opinion, not that it was said by the Merit Commission, just that that was her opinion. And Your Honor, the way I would think that through is that like this, the Merit Commission has three members, just like this panel. The panel issues an order. What one judge's opinion is might be different from what the actual order and official legal, you know, meaning is. And so I don't think that her opinion, if you look at her deposition testimony that we cited at summary judgment, she is very quick to say, I'm not speaking for the Merit Commission.
Well, what if there were three members of the commission that said that?
Well, I think it would depend. I think what they really needed to do was have a 30B6 deposition of the Merit Commission. Go to the Merit Commission and get testimony of what the official position was. I don't think you can go back, find someone that's your friend that was on the commission and say and have that be testimony that gets you past summary judgment on this. Particularly, Your Honor, where Sergeant Roberts, if you look at his 2011 application to become a merit rank lieutenant, and I would point the court, if I may.
Mr. Young, let me just tell you, I'm a little baffled by this reliance upon the failure to do make a 30B6 request. If that were a basis for this court to rely upon, then it seems that what you're saying is that whatever a defendant says in response to an inquiry as to the significance whatever the response is from the defendant is what counts. And so it's kind of like the defendant is not only a defendant, but a judge and a jury.
Well, Your Honor, I've represented plaintiffs, so I certainly would not go that far. The defendant doesn't get to classify this position. And I think you bring up a really important point. Our argument is not based on the 30B6, and our argument is not based on how Sheriff Winder or Unified Police or the Sheriff's Office, the defendants have classified it. It's based on how the Merit Commission, which is an independent entity, has classified it. So when I point you to Merit Commission policies, those aren't controlled by any of the defendants in this case. When I point you to that 2009 reclassification, you'll notice that that's a letter to Sheriff Winder, because he does, you're right, he doesn't get to be judge and jury. The Merit Commission does. And one Merit Commissioner does not speak for the Merit Commission. And again, I would urge the court, if you review her deposition testimony, she is very quick to say, I'm not the Merit Commission. I was on the commission. This is only my opinion. And part of our position is that's because we showed her all these documents from the Merit Commission that contradict her opinion.
What about the idea, if the existence of a property interest is predicated on the reasonable expectations of the prospective employee, that we should look not only to the what the Merit Commission would classify this position as, but with how the sheriff's office would classify the position. And the sheriff's office policy said that the position of range master was, quote, attained through appointment from a merit register based on a competitive merit examination. He does undergo an examination for the test. And so why doesn't that at least create a genuine issue of material fact on whether or not he had a reasonable expectation that this was merit-based based on the policy of the office in which he was going to occupy, even if the Merit Commission would think otherwise?
Well, I think there are two answers to that. One, that the evidence that you cited, that's their characterization of the evidence. Our position is that's completely inaccurate. They have not produced evidence of a registry. They've not produced evidence of this appointment. And the sheriff's office, again, is distinct from the Merit Commission, and it can't create a specialist position. And specialist positions, if you look at policy 4140 and the subsequent policy 3140, Your Honors, and those are at appendix 363 to 364, and then appendix 153 through 156. They both say that that the person going to a specialist position is going to be appointed. But nowhere in the statute governing the Merit Commission does it say that the sheriff's office can, through its own policy, transform a specialist position into something that gives a property right to a plaintiff or to an employee. And they've cited no case that supports that position. And again, I would point to Sergeant Roberts' own conduct. In 2011, if he really believed that this was a merit rank, that the sheriff's office made this into a merit position, then when he applied, he wouldn't have needed to apply for a merit rank advancement to lieutenant in 2011. And certainly he would have at least said that his current merit rank was rangemaster, not sergeant, but he didn't. And that's because he knew this was not a merit rank under either the sheriff's office policies, which we don't believe apply, or the Merit Commission policies.
Mr. Young, could I direct your attention to the First Amendment claim?
Sure.
On the merits, why isn't there a factual question regarding, let me finish my question. Just because there was a great length of time between Robert's initial failure to support Winder, I guess, in his first election, why isn't there enough evidence to show that Winder held a long grudge? Because in intervening elections, wasn't there a suggestion of people who were associated with Winder that he just hadn't done enough? He may have supported him, but he hadn't done enough. And isn't that a sufficient factual basis to go to the jury on?
Your Honor, thanks for the question. I apologize for interrupting. I don't think it is enough to go to the jury on. One, the length of time is enormous. There are no cases that cite this length of time.
But there was intervening conduct in the other elections by some of Winder's cohorts saying, you're not doing enough. Isn't there evidence of that?
I don't think there's admissible evidence of that. What you have are people saying it, classic hearsay statements. Winder said this, Winder said that. But there's no testimony other than what that hearsay about these things. And I think, Your Honor, they did not depose Winder in the second phase of the case that got to this First Amendment claim. And go ahead, Your Honor.
Well, but that sounds to me like a little bit about my concern about your argument on 30B6 is that if Winder denies it, then that's it. Game over. Aren't these people sufficiently associated with him that they could be attributed to him, their statements, and therefore get over any hearsay problem?
Well, maybe, Your Honor, but they all, each of these people conceded, they don't know why Winder transferred Sergeant Roberts. And plaintiffs deposed Winder's replacement, Sergeant Rivera, and she ratified each of the reasons that Sheriff Winder said he transferred Sergeant Roberts, which was he was mean and belittling to people.
Why is that equally as here? If you say that the statements of Winder's cohorts are hearsay, why isn't that hearsay? It's kind of like you want to pick and choose what's hearsay and what's not hearsay.
No, I don't mean to pick and choose, Your Honor. It's direct testimony from Sheriff Rivera to see saying, yes, I observed these problems with Sergeant Roberts' management of the range. And so what you have is a declaration from Sheriff Winder saying these are the six or seven reasons I transferred Sergeant Roberts. Independent of that, Sheriff Rivera has testified, yeah, all of these were issues that I observed personally. So it's not hearsay. It's very different than someone's than Sergeant Roberts saying, well, someone in 2007 said that Winder didn't like Roberts. And I would submit, Your Honor, that those three or four statements over a span of 11 years are simply insufficient to create the causal connection for the First Amendment retaliation claim.
Thank you.
Judge Murphy, did you have any other questions?
No, I have nothing else.
Okay, Judge Briscoe?
No, thank you.
Court recognizes Mr. Hughes for your rebuttal, please. You're on, Mr. Hughes, you're on mute.
I told the court I'm not good with buttons. They're not good with me either. So I would cite the court to Elrod on the issue of whether or not it was important to be a merit. And Elrod, that involved employees who were not civil service. But I'm going to suggest to the court we've been led down a path. If we go back when Roberts was made rangemaster, that was 1996, I believe. And the process that Roberts went through was he had to go through, and as the court has indicated, he had to go through testing. And it was more than that. There was a national search to find a rangemaster because the rangemaster was such an important part of the department and so important. And we're finding that out more and more as time has passed, how important training.
Well, don't we look at all at the procedures that are in place for the Merit Commission and look at those procedures and say those procedures determine the status of the employee?
Yes, Your Honor. And in this case, what were the procedures? You know, could the sheriff, and at that point it was Sheriff Kenner, just merely have appointed Roberts as a rangemaster? He did not. He chose to go through the Merit Commission. He chose to go through a national search, and there were candidates from all across the country and made applications. They then went through testing. Now, in this case, it was merit because of the testing, and we have testimony on that from both Dr. Themakis and Larson. We also have—
And that's what the procedures tell us. If you go through testing, you're in a merit position?
Yes, Your Honor, I believe it does.
Which procedures?
Off the top of my head, I don't know. I believe it's in my brief, but we do have that from both of the witnesses. Also, we have both Babka and Nelson coming in and saying they report when Sheriff Winter asked him to remove Roberts from rangemaster, they both went back and said that they had done a thorough investigation and found that Roberts, the rangemaster, was a merit position created by the Merit Commission, and Roberts could not be removed. And that's why Roberts stayed in that position until Sheriff Winter decided to go to Moab. So we have, how do we have a ton of testimony? But we had much testimony. We have the court even saying that the fact that a position is appointed does not necessarily make it exclusive and it cannot be merit. In this case, it was both. It was a specialist position because of the skill. And that also leads to the other, another conclusion why this was a merit position. The merit commission, as we presented to the court, gave, I think it was 3 pages of single space qualifications, at least initially, and those expanded so that to be a range master, Nick Roberts was the only, the plaintiff, the only person that was and has been qualified. Even the person who replaced him testified specifically, he did not have the qualifications that Mr. Roberts had as stated by the Merit Commission. So was it a Merit Commission? Counsel comes in and talks about rank. Yeah, to get a rank, you have to test. You have to qualify, you have to test. And after you do that, you can have the merit rank of sergeant, lieutenant, or captain. In this case, Roberts went through the same process, which was to qualify, which he did in a national, with a national look, and then pass a test, which he did. And he was the highest one. And from that register, he was then appointed. And appointed is not a word of art. They use appointed, I will suggest, and we've indicated to court, appointed comes into a lot of times, you're appointed a sergeant. That does not make it a non-merit rank position. So Roberts was, had the merit position of rangemaster. He had the merit rank of sergeant. He also had what had the merit position of rangemaster. And I believe we've gone through all that, Themakis, Larson, the depositions, and what they testified. And these Themakis and Larson were on the ground. You know, could we have done a 60B deposition? We're talking about 1996. And we also have...
You need, you know, Mr. Hughes, you're over time, but you, I'll let you wrap up. I don't want you to start a new argument, but you can conclude.
Actually, I paused. I was hoping for a new argument. Now I don't have to look for it.
Well, thank you very much, counsel. Judge Briscoe, do you have any additional questions?
No, I don't. Thank you.
Judge Murphy?
I have none.
Thank you, Mr. Hughes and Mr. Young. This matter is submitted.